Good evening and welcome to the City of Palm Coast Hybrid December 2nd, 2020 Citizens Advisory Task Force meeting. Due to the current threat of COVID-19, the Citizens Advisory Task Force is meeting via a hybrid process as prescribed by City Council. This meeting is being held in person with limited attendance as recommended by the Centers for Disease Control and by CMT virtual attendance. Notice that this meeting was going to be held by communication media technology, along with the physical location, was posted on the city's website. The notice provided that those members of the public needing reasonable accommodation to participate in the meeting should contact the city clerk for assistance by noon on Monday, November 30th, 2020. Access to this meeting is being provided via live stream on the city's website at www.palmcoastgov.com and 386-223-1690. Should technological difficulties arise, the chair may recess or adjourn the meeting and advise of a time to reconvene or reschedule the meeting. If you are having problems connecting or need technical assistance, please call 386-986-2391. Public participation will work as follows. The chair will call for public participation. Those in physical attendance will be given the opportunity to address the Citizens Advisory Task Force members by approaching the podium. When no further in-person attendees approach the podium, the chair will then call for public participation from callers that are on the line to address the task force members. For all callers, prior to calling in with your comments, if you are watching the meeting from our website, please mute your computer so when you call in with your comments, there is no interference. To participate via phone, please call 386-223-1690. You will need to hit *9 to raise your hand to provide your comments when you would like to speak during public participation. You will be acknowledged by being unmuted and you will hear a message that you have been unmuted. Please begin by stating your name clearly and slowly for the record. You will have 3 minutes to speak. When there is 15 seconds left to your 3 minutes, you will hear a beep. And then at the end of your 3 minutes, you will hear another beep, and you will be muted at that time. You will not be disconnected from the meeting. All callers will have the opportunity to speak. Please be aware there may be a short pause as we switch to the next caller. Today is December 2nd, 2020 again. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. Irene, may we please have the roll call?
James Albano.
Present.
Denise Santa Maria.
Present.
Dorothy Sperber.
Present.
Clint Smith.
Present.
Jake Scully.
Present.
Sybil Dodson Lucas.
Present.
Sandra Shank.
Present.
Charles Lemon.
Here.
Robert D. Maria is excused. Chair, Ms. Shank, we have a quorum.
Thank you. The first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from our July 2nd, 2020 meeting. Are there any corrections or additions, or is there a motion from the board?
I move their approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
James Albano.
Yes.
Denise Santa Maria.
Yes.
Dorothy Sperber.
Yes.
Clint Smith.
Yes.
Jake Scully.
Yes.
Sybil Lucas.
Yes.
Thundershank.
Yes.
Charles Lemon.
Yes.
The motion carries 8-0.
Thank you. Item number 2, review and approval of the CDBG Consolidated Annual Performance and Evaluation Report for the program year of October 1st, 2019 to September 30th, 2020. Mr. Papa.
Good evening, Madam Chair and members of the board. Jose Papa for the Community Development Department. This item is one of those requirements of the Community Development Block Grant Program. Earlier this summer, if you recall, we approved the annual action plan, which identified how we intend to use the monies that were allocated for from federal fiscal year 2020 and how we're going to use that in the fiscal year of 2021. So the other requirement of the block grant program is to provide an annual report to HUD. And the annual report covers the preceding fiscal year. So that would be from October 1st, 2019 to September 30, 2020. And as stated, again, it's for the period that covers the preceding fiscal year. And the purpose of this annual report is to describe the activities that were undertaken during this time period using the CDBG funds. Within the report, it provides an update on the city's progress in implementing CDBG programs and the activities identified in the consolidated and annual action plan. Consistent with previous years, the main activities for the CDBG funds have been housing rehabilitation, the program that we have where we provide financial assistance for those low-moderate income households to do repairs to their homes. And that activity, which includes administration, is one of the main activities using CDBG funds. The other use of the CDBG funds were for public service, and in this case, again, the city provides a summer camp program, and through the use of CDBG funds, we are able to offer scholarships for low-moderate income students to attend the summer camp without having to pay the fee. CDBG funds will cover the fees that for attending summer camp. And additionally, for the general planning administration of the program, those include things like if we have to post an ad in the newspaper, radio ads to highlight our activities, such as the housing program or the public service or the youth summer camp programs, so those funds can be used to pay for those types of activities. Within the previous year, we completed 10 homes through the housing rehab program, and we've started the next round, which is I was informed today it's about 20 homes actually that we're beginning for the next round. The next round, though, a portion of it has started, but then there are some that the round that we're going to use the 2020 funds is currently delayed because of we're waiting for the funding agreement from HUD. So we had last year's funds that were available, and we're proceeding with that. We're now in the process of actually signing contracts for construction work. I have to remind everybody that from March to basically August, we were not able to do anything with a program, such as getting our home inspector to go out there and look at the homes and write the scopes of work. That didn't start happening until about August, September, and so we're a little behind on that. But I think now that we've started construction, it should go fairly quickly, and we should be able to report completion by next fiscal year. So at the end of fiscal year 2018, the expenditure was about $224,000. And then again, moving on to the public service or youth activities, 37 students were assisted with scholarships to attend summer camp. We did offer summer camp during the month of June, July, and a portion of August. So Parks and Recreation were able to offer summer camp. 37 students, I think in all likelihood, if we didn't have the pandemic, there probably would have been more participants in camp. It was sort of put together at the very last minute to assist our residents for those who, again, probably just needed a break from being home with the kids. And again, for general administration, monitoring, and project delivery of the housing program, about $20,000 was used. So within the completion of the last round, or within the last fiscal year, the total of about $260,950 were used. For ongoing activities, just to catch up on some things, as we stated, the housing rehab program that's now ongoing using the fiscal year 2019 funds, or using the fiscal year 2020 funds, which the action plan, which you approved this past summer, again, we're just waiting for the funding agreement from HUD before we can advertise that we have funding available and start process those applications. I will say that we did have the workshops for potential participants in that program. We had two of them in the month of November. They were well attended, and probably, again, we might have come to a point where we might not have enough funds. If everyone who attended and applied and was and qualifies, we might be at a point where we might not have enough dollars to serve everybody. So far, we've been able to do that, but we'll see how that goes. It just really depends on the scope of work that some of these houses come in. If it's just a roof and AC, fine, but then we have instances where it's the roof, the AC, a water heater, the kitchen's waterlogged, we have ceilings that have dropped because of water leaks, then the cost to repair that home will be a little more than what we typically average, which is about $25,000 to $30,000. And of course, as we're seeing with the last round of bids, construction costs are going up really significantly, just from materials and probably from labor also, but according to the contractors, mainly materials. So that's where we are with that. If you also remember, during the summer, we received some funds through the CARES Act, and that's been used for a utility payment assistance program. We had about $300,000. So far, that's underway. We've received all the applications that we can. We're processing it, not the city, but a contractor who is qualified to do income qualification is processing all the applications. So far, we've approved about $120,000 worth of utility payment assistance. So we're about halfway there with the funds. But at this time, we're not taking any more applications, because I will say that after 2 or 3 days, we, by our calculation, at an average of about $720 of assistance for each household, we were going to be able to serve about 350 homes or households. We had 666 applications in the span of 3 days, and so we had to shut off the application and just cut it off, because there was no way that we would have more than enough qualified applicants with the amount of funds that we have. And so typically on a normal year, we do some fair housing activities, and the big one is the annual housing fair. That's in partnership with the Flagler County Association of Realtors, Mid-Florida, Flagler County, and this year was postponed due to COVID. So hopefully next year we won't have that. So that's the report at this time. Staff's recommending that the Citizens Advisory Task Force recommend that the City Council approve the annual report, and I'd be happy to take any questions at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Papa. Is there any discussion?
I have a question, just out of curiosity. If you have more applicants for either of the programs, then how do you select which ones will receive the benefit and which ones won't? What's generally the process?
It's always going to be a first complete application, first qualified applicant.
Okay.
So there could come a point where you might, although you qualify and you have a complete application, at that point we will just have to inform you that the funds have run out, and that they're welcome to apply next year. Keeping a waiting list is it's a difficult option because HUD will typically say that you need to review their income on an annual basis. So if the cycle starts, if we took applications this year, 2020, and we take applications for 2021, we have to use the latest income information that they have. And so keeping a waiting list is really not practical unless you have more than one cycle in a year, which we never do.
Other questions?
I had a question, Mr. Pappas. Regarding, did I hear you correctly that the average amount that was given for the utility assistance was $700 and something?
That's what we were calculating. On a typical household would be like, we said $115, $125, I believe, and my math was all off. The way that we did the calculation is 3 months of utility bills. 125, 125, 125. Let's just go with 125. So that's 375. And the program will provide assistance for 6 months. So we double that 375 to 750.
Okay.
And so a household has 750 available to use. If they use more water than what they were averaging previously, then it'll be less, whatever. 750 will be whatever that amount is until it runs out.
I was just wondering how the calculation was
done.
Ma'am. Thank you.
So the households of the households that applied, but if you ran out of funding, did they experience termination of their services? Because you had more applicants than you had money available. So those applicants that did not receive funding, did we turn off their water?
I believe that utility will probably do that if they haven't paid their bill, or that there comes a point where there will be a shutoff.
So who makes the determination to provide funding for 6 months? If we could service more people and provide it for 3 months, who makes that determination? Who set the criteria?
Yeah, that criteria was set essentially by what HUD allowed, and also administratively.
Okay.
Is the money for utilities for water, or it can be used for any utility?
It's for the utility bill. It's for water, sewer.
Water and sewer.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions?
If I may.
Yes.
Mr. Papa, is that in conjunction with other programs? I mean, can you apply and receive the 750 grant and still apply for other services, like from Elder Source or?
You can. You certainly can.
Person, I should say.
There is the need to avoid the duplication of benefits, which is the one thing. For our program, it's going to be easy because we don't write a check to any beneficiary. It's a credit to their account.
I got you.
So if somehow they received help from elsewhere and paid their utility bill, then we know not to credit their account for that amount.
Thank you.
But if they received funding from someplace else and the check was cut directly to them, there's no way to really check that, correct?
Right, right. Our application did state that there's a need to disclose the duplication of benefits, and there may be punitive action if they're discovered to have had duplication of benefits. Of course, from our side, it's not going to be us, but money they might have received from another program, how they would get, it's a little more, I guess it would be a little more difficult. But.
Thank you. Any additional questions or comments? I do have one additional question about the housing rehab program. Do you guys receive any referrals from code enforcement as a result of code enforcement violations for homes that may be in need of repair?
We've not, typically. No, ma'am.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions, any further discussion? Rath, do you have anyone on the line? Okay, seeing none. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion to approve.
We have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Irene, roll call vote, please.
James Albano.
Yes.
Denise Santa Maria.
Yes.
Dorothy Sperber.
Yes.
Clint Smith.
Yes.
Jake Scully.
Yes.
Sybil Dodson Lucas.
Yes.
Sandra Shank.
Yes.
Charles Lemon.
Yes.
Motion carries 8-0.
Thank you. Are there any items not on the agenda that the board or staff would like to discuss?
I have one thing, Madam Chair. And this has to do with during the summer when we went over the annual action plan, I believe the board brought to my attention of maybe looking into first-time home buyer program. And I think at that time I made a statement that I will do some research and look at what's being done or how we've done one in the past. When the city received the Neighborhood Stabilization Program funds, those funds were used for down payment and closing assistance. So that sort of provided an outline of how we might potentially structure a program. And of course, the county offers a first-time home buyers program to SHIP. And so, if I may just call it up again. And so I'll just like to quickly go over this outline that we're developing, and we will distribute this to all the board members after this meeting so that you can take a look at it. Because, and you know, this is of course, is there a way we can change the view on this? Yeah. This outline also provides some of the things that probably needs to be considered. If we're going to offer a first-time home buyers program, we can look at into more detail and. Sure. So, first thing, of course, just trying to define who will be eligible as a first-time home buyer, and following the first-time home buyer definition of HUD. Again, so that's probably the definition we would want to use if we were to establish this program to be consistent with best practices and HUD's guidelines. Essentially, it's essentially an individual or a couple who's had no ownership in a principal residence within a 3-year period. And there are some other caveats in there that probably would require more review. Includes things like a single parent who has only owned with a former spouse while married. So I guess if there's a change in marriage status, that would make them eligible to be considered as a first-time home buyer. And the maximum award, and this is what the SHIP program offers, mm-hmm. and that's why I wrote it down here. I apologize, it's not coming in the way I wanted to, but like for a very low income household, maximum award could be up to $35,000, low 25, moderate 10,000. And for financial, there's also a portion here that if they were to receive an award, there's a clawback clause, typical with any first-time home buyers program, that if you receive any form of assistance, there needs to be some guarantee that property will not just be turned over for profit within a short period. And so those things include things like if you receive assistance of $25,000 or less, then that would require a 10-year non-amortizing mortgage. If it's $25,000 or more, then it's a 15-year. And that's the way that when the city had the NSP program, that was the clawback policy for the program. And there are some things in the, and then of course the program also would have to look at the household's ability to pay back the loan or the mortgage and not be too burdened by a mortgage. And so there are some things there that are those debt to income ratios that will help in assisting to make sure that we're just not putting a household in a position where to fail or to be foreclosed on. And I'm not the most savvy with some of these terms, but this is why if we go through this program, it'll probably require conversation with someone who's maybe someone from the county who's run a first-time home buyers program, or even with retaining the services of a consultant to help us through the processing of applicants and the households from application to maybe closing of a mortgage or assistance. And the only other thing I really want to call out here is that, and this is based on, actually this is from SHIP also, and also under the NSP program, prefabricated manufactured housing or trailers are not allowable to be acquired under this program. There are very limited, those are very limited within the city of Palm Coast, if they exist at all. So that's just something that I saw. And then again, loan requirements, very basic, FHA, VA, 30 or 15 year, fixed rate mortgage, things like subprime mortgages, adjustable rate mortgages will not be allowed. Again, trying to ensure that the house remains affordable and for any qualified buyer under this program. And if we did have a first-time home buyers program, again, participants would still need to meet the income requirements of the CDBG, which is that your income, household income, cannot exceed 80% of the low moderate income for Palm Coast. That is just the way that's just a requirement of the CDBG program. That's a part of the national objective that must be met. Households to be assisted must meet the 8% or below area median income.
Bob, the AMI for this area is for a single is approaching $60,000 now.
For a family of four, it's $56,000.
That's the 80%, or is that the?
That's the area median income. So 80% of that would be what for a family of four. I'm sorry, I just don't remember what that would be for an individual. But
be less, right?
Yes, sir. And so the last thing would be just looking at, I think the maximum award would be no more than 20% of the purchase price. And so maximum award of 20% of the purchase price, or that maximum of, if in the beginning that we saw, $35,000 for a very low household, or $25,000 for a low income household and moderate income household of $10,000. So those are the things. I welcome comments on this. I'll send it out, and hopefully, you're probably, some of you are probably way more experienced with this, having worked through with the SHIP program with the county, and that's a conversation that I will also have with whoever's. I'm not sure if they've hired a new person to administer SHIP, but that would be something that I would certainly reach out and do. And of course, also tap into some of the some other municipalities who might run a first-time home buyers program using CDBG.
Thank you, Mr. Papa, for following through with our request. Yeah. And you've outlined a great program. It's like you said, it seems to be identical to what SHIP is doing. So I think that if we should adopt this, what would be the next step for this to become?
Well, yes. So I think it would be, you know, we will incorporate this as part of our local housing assistance plan, so that in addition to the rules that we have now for our housing rehab program, we would add this on so that we have a section for first-time home buyers program. And maybe we'll do that before we get into the approval of next year's annual action plan. And then the decision at that time will have to be made by this board as to how you might want to divvy up the funds that are going to be available. Part of my additional research would be what has been a reasonable amount, I think, that people think that most programs would use in an average year for first-time home buyers assistance. If that's something that you'd like to pursue with the next allocation, I'll come back to you with a report at that time about, I mentioned that we might not be able to serve everybody who's applied through our owner-occupied housing rehab program this year. Does that mean maybe we would need to dedicate more, or maybe keep it the same? I guess I'm trying to say that I'll try to provide you with a picture of what the demands are with the housing rehab, and what the potential demand would be for first-time home buyers program, and see what the board might want to do with how that's divided or split.
Any comments from anyone else?
Papa, when you do that, could you help the numbers challenged of us up here and explain if there are any flexibility with the unspent category amounts that were allocated in previous years? Just looking at the HUD report, and you know the unexpended was over 700,000. Before the award, so I don't know what can be done with that, and the planning meeting is probably a better place to discuss it, but if you could be prepared to
yes, sir.
Teach us about that, that'd be great.
I can tell you that we probably have very little left, that with this housing rehab go-around, we will probably only be left mainly with this year's allocation, the 485,000, I believe, that we received for fiscal year 2020.
And unspent public services.
Public service, yes, sir. I will say this also, that there's the opportunity to use some of the unspent public service for some of the COVID-related challenges we're facing now. But any amount that needs to be moved will have to come through this board.
Thanks.
I think it's really the timing of us putting this first-time home buyer program is really important. I think one of the things that we see with COVID-19 and now with the eviction moratoriums expiring at the end of this month, this is a prime example of why it's important to have people in home ownership, because people who are in home ownership will have a little bit more time and flexibility to save their homes versus people who are renting. And we have a lot of renters here. And not only that, the fair market value of a lot of the rental properties will probably exceed what the mortgages will be for the people that this program is structured for.
Mm-hmm.
So it is critical, it is very critical that this becomes a reality, and that we are able to come up with a funding allocation for a program like this for next year. It's going to strengthen our community. Housing stability is critical to the health and vitality of a community. And we have a lot of rental properties and a lot of people that may be facing, not only here but in this country, evictions. And, so thank you again for following through with it. And I'm looking forward to in 2021 for this board to be able to make a decision along with you about the funding allocation and making it a reality. Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second?
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody want to stay here until midnight?
Okay.
Everyone have a good evening. I want a meeting adjourned.